Welcome to Natalie Saves the World, one podcast at a time. A space for honest conversations about mental health, self-love, relationships, living more consciously, finding clarity, and spreading light through all of life's challenges. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Natalie Saves the World, one podcast at a time. Today, we're talking about career pivots, finding purpose, and what to do when you feel that pull towards something new, but you have no idea what that next chapter is supposed to look like. The truth is, the world of work is changing incredibly fast nowadays. AI is really reshaping industries, shifting expectations about what a career should look like, and this growing desire we're all feeling for freedom, flexibility, and fulfillment. More and more people are starting to question whether their career path is the right one for them. So today I have someone very special joining me on the podcast. I'm here with Stephanie Cordes. She is a career coach who helps professionals explore what's next, whether that's a new direction, a pivot, or even stepping into business ownership. Stephanie has a complimentary discovery process that helps people find clarity and confidence. Her clients also receive the book, Your Career Revolution, and access to her online portal full of tools and resources to support their journey. If you've been feeling that nudge towards something different and you're not sure where to start, or if you've ever wondered, is it too late for me to pivot? How do I future-proof my career? This is the conversation for you. So Stephanie, welcome to the show. Really excited to have you here.
Yeah, thanks so much. I'm glad to be here. I think this is a really important topic right now. Like you said, so many people are unhappy in the workforce, you know, as you said, with AI, with all the downsizing going on, especially this time of year. We're recording this at the end of or the beginning of December. It's, wow, time has been so fast. Yeah. You know, with everything going on in the world and so much uncertainty, people really are just, you know, reevaluating, you know, what their career path is. And so I think this is a really timely conversation. Glad to be here.
Totally. Likewise. Yeah, I very much agree. And we'll get into it. But I also recently did a career pivot from just like the standard 9-to-5 type of role to now more an entrepreneurial independent path, which we'll get into. And it has many challenges, many pros and cons of both. Yeah. But I would just love to hear a little bit more about you and your story and how you came to be where you are today.
Sure. So I was in the corporate world for about 20 years and I had achieved, you know, almost every goal that I had for myself. And then something really surprising happened. I have three children and my eldest child at the time, she was diagnosed with an acute medical condition. It was very serious. We didn't know if she would survive. We knew if she did, she would have chronic issues after that. And at that very moment, all desire to move up the corporate ladder, just, you know, poof, it was gone. Yeah. You know, you just don't really care about anything after that. So, you know, we got through that acute period. She did survive. And now I can tell you, you know, years later, she went to college. She's about to get married. She still has some residual issues. But, you know, we went through a tough time and she has some tough days ahead of her and she still has some tough days now. But that really started a change for me that took me a few years to work through. I no longer wanted to climb that corporate ladder, but it made me reevaluate, you know, what was important to me. I still wanted to work. I still wanted to do a good job. But, you know, my family was changed forever. Our relationships between our children, our interactions with our children, what became important to me, how I spent my time, you know, what was driving me every day, all those things changed. And then I developed a chronic illness myself, not surprising given the amount of stress and everything I would, you know, was under, very difficult on my husband at the time as well, as you can imagine. So just the whole family, everything changes. So everything that I thought was important to me and everything I thought was a measure of success, suddenly all that stuff didn't matter anymore. I didn't care about my title or how much money I made and all those things. So it really just caused me to be very unhappy at work, even though I had actually a supportive boss and all those things and a nice team to work with. So I just needed to, you know, reassess, what am I doing? I do need an income, but is this how I want to spend my day? So I didn't decide to do anything. I was kind of in the market looking for other work. as many people do when they're unhappy, not really knowing what they're looking for, but sure, I'm just going to start applying for stuff because, you know, the grass is always greener. And I stumbled upon a career ownership coach, and she took me through this amazing process where I was able to figure out what was missing in my current employment. And that's the same process I take people through now.
That is really incredible. And I'm so sorry to hear about your daughter, but I'm really happy to hear she recovered and she's doing well. That's amazing. I would love to hear a little bit just more about that journey that you went through and how you were able to kind of decipher, you know, figure out what it is that you truly wanted to do, that journey into entrepreneurship. And what does that really mean for you today?
Yeah. So career ownership is taking ownership of your income path. So for some people, that means staying in the W-2 world, but you do it intentionally. You're not just being dragged through it. Like, there's nothing else to do. This is just, you know, how we were raised. It's taking ownership of it, saying, okay, this actually is the right, upon study, this is the right thing for me, being in this W-2 world. Right. So we start at the beginning with all of our clients. So I'm going to describe it. It's the process I went through, but it's also the process I take my clients through now. Mm-hmm. So we start at the beginning, helping people clarify their goals for the future in terms of income, lifestyle, wealth, and equity. So a lot of times we haven't thought about what our goals are for the rest of our life maybe since college, let's say. And, you know, 20 years later or even later, those goals have maybe changed a lot. And that's what happened in my life. You know, I mean, I'm standing at that point with my daughter being ill, like, wait, everything has changed since the last time I thought about what my goals were. So what I learned for myself in that process is that, you know, my income goals were different. I had a much bigger desire for work-life balance. I mean, when I was in my early 20s, I didn't care how much I worked. I might as well work. I have nothing else to do, right? And I'll go out afterwards and, you know, whatever. But when you have children, you know, everything changes. And then, you know, as your ages of your children change, you know, your goals, your things that you care about change. So I had to reassess all that. And what I learned is that the things that were important to me before were no longer the same things that were important. So I had to really redefine that. And I think sometimes it's obvious. Well, yeah, obviously, if you have kids, you know, you want to spend more time with them. But it's another thing to sit and write that down. Like, what do you want your ideal day to look like? And I realized I need a lot more flexibility. I'm constantly going to needing to go to appointments and rearrange for all these different things. And I have to have something that accommodates that. But I still need an income. But what does that actually look like? And define it, like, exactly how much do I need? So we did that. And then once we figure out what your goals are, you know, what do you want your retirement to look like? When you're 20, your retirement seems like 1,000 years away, you know, but when you're 45, it's not so far away. So, and also you realize that your parents' retirement doesn't look like, you know, your idea of retirement either. We're not all just thinking about sitting on the golf course. And also we're expected to live a lot longer. So having a real idea of what does that retirement look like, most people nowadays say they expect to keep working, at least in some regard. So really planning what all of that looks like and how will I live? And we're not expecting the Social Security to still be around. So how are we going to fund that? We have to think about all these things. So we plot that all out with goals. And then we say, okay, so how can we achieve this? So we look at the different, you know, vehicles for success, we call them. So there's different paths, and we can talk about all those paths too, but I'll take a breath if you want to jump in there. Yes.
Oh, no, this is all super interesting. I can give a little context just in my personal career journey.
Yeah.
I worked just like a 9-to-5, climbing that corporate ladder for 8+ years. So basically since college, just worked full-time. In marketing, I just sort of fell into it, by the way. I studied urban planning. I just had like a marketing background and I enjoyed it. And it was sort of just in demand and I just kind of fell into it. And then I ended up doing it for all these years. Again, I never really questioned what I truly wanted to do. And I never even thought entrepreneurship would be a possibility. And I think nobody really teaches you unless you have entrepreneurs in your family, which I do. Mm-hmm. It's very much like the unconventional path. And so for me, I sort of just fell into this 9-to-5 corporate ladder type of world. And some people love that world and some people are great at it. Some people really love like the structure of it and the safety of it, if you will, because now, basically now I am doing my own thing. So I was laid off, as many people are now. It's becoming increasingly common. I worked in tech, so tech is especially volatile right now, especially with AI. I think right now we're kind of in this AI gold rush where all these companies think AI is like the magic solution to all their problems. And if they just throw AI at the problem, then, you know, they don't need humans anymore. We can get rid of these pesky humans, at least in like more white collar type of roles. And so long story short, so I was laid off, and I just took it as a sign from the universe, from God, whatever you want to call it, that this wasn't what I was supposed to be doing anymore. And I never really questioned it. I never really even wanted to do it. Again, it was just like what I sort of fell into. And I said, wait a minute, maybe this is all happening for a reason, and it's all happening as it should. And I should take this as a sign that now I should finally take that leap into being independent, being an entrepreneur, and doing what I'm truly passionate about, which my true passion, like my long-term business that I want to do, is something helping people make friends, which we can talk about like for hours. Like my first episode is all about this, just like the loneliness crisis. So long-term, I want to do something, whether it be an app or just like organizing all of this on my own, but something helping people to make friends and find love in this very sad, isolating world. I think it's a huge, huge issue. But the short-term business I'm doing for now is just like marketing, consulting, fully solopreneur, just me for now. I'm doing a lot of work with LinkedIn, a lot of work with personal branding. So helping CEOs and founders build their personal brands through things like LinkedIn, but also podcasting, events, lead generation, etc. And so I never even knew that it was possible to be my own boss. You know, like I knew that there were people who did it, but it seemed so unfathomable to me. It seemed like a pipe dream, like, oh, that would be nice, but I have no idea how to do that. And nobody really teaches you how to be an entrepreneur. Like, I mean, you can read books and you can take courses, but it's definitely not a lot of the work of it, which I'm in right now, which they call the messy middle. Messy middle is very hard. Like right now I'm basically working double what I worked at a 9 to 5. I'm working very, very hard, almost 7 days a week, if not 7 days a week. And still not seeing like the other side of it, basically. Like, I do have clients now, but I'm not earning what I earned in a full-time 9 to 5 role. And it will take some time to get there. And that's part of building a business. But I think nobody really teaches you these things, and nobody really tells you just how hard it is to be an entrepreneur and like go your own way. At the same time, once the fruits of your labor, if you will, start to compound, it's so worth it and it's amazing. And you have, like you said, that work-life balance, and you have so much more freedom, and you have some people maybe just weren't cut out for the corporate world, and they were meant to be an entrepreneur, but like they never taught them that that was possible.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there was, you know, there's a couple statistics about how many people really want to be self-sufficient and they just don't know how. I think it's like 90% of people. My youngest is in sixth grade now, but when he was in fourth grade, I wish I had it ready to pull up. It's actually always on my desk, but because I want it right now. Oh, it's right here. Oh my gosh. I'm going to cover his name. What? But look at this. I don't know if it's going to be backwards.
Oh, wow.
But does it say entrepreneur? Can you read it? Fourth grade. Look at how awesome this is. So they are actually doing entrepreneur, talking about being an entrepreneur in fourth grade in our local school district. They're playing Shark Tank in his school this year. So I think that is so awesome. Oh, and now look at the other side too.
My entrepreneur traits card. Oh, wow. I love that.
So how great is it that they are, like, to your point when you said people don't teach this stuff, at least here in our local school district, they are talking to kids about this stuff, which is amazing that this is a viable option. Just like they're talking to kids about the importance of blue collar jobs. And it's okay if you don't want to go to college because you could do this or do that. There's so many other things that you can do besides go to college and work in the corporate world. So there are all kinds of paths out there, and people are usually so surprised to find out that all these different paths exist. So you're actually doing it the hardest way possible. You're starting your own business from scratch, and that is literally the hardest way to do it. So bravo to you that now you've got Yeah. So,
yeah, like I said, I'm working double what I worked 9 to 5. I think also the biggest thing for me that was very hard in corporate companies is the politics. I'm not good at playing the game.
Yeah, I never
not
was
my
good at playing the game
personality.
either.
I'm not fake. I'm not, you know, a sycophant. I also had kind of like a rude awakening. So I used to think when I was younger that the people at the top of the corporate ladder were there because they deserved to be there. I used to think, oh, if somebody's, you know, a VP of this company, it's because they're really, really smart or really, really skilled or really, really deserving of that role and a great leader. And what I kind of learned the hard way is that oftentimes, I mean, not always, but oftentimes those at the top are there either due to nepotism. So they're just like friends with the right people, buddies in the right places, or they're amazing politicians. Like they really know how to play the game. They know how to kind of play the pieces on the chessboard within the company. And I've never been good at that. I'm really a good politician. I'm too open and honest, and I just have a hard time being fake and not showing my true colors. But I think people who do thrive at that are great at climbing the ladder and they do reach those positions. But so what was hard for me sometimes is I feel like the individual contributors, the people who are doing the actual work, oftentimes do know more than the person above them. And yet they're being told what to do and kind of belittled by someone who knows less than they do. And that to me was frustrating as well. And I imagine a lot of people have a hard time with
That's
that.
right. That's why, as a career ownership coach, I've got an unending supply of possible clients because there's an unending supply of miserable people in the corporate world for all of those reasons. I found all those things to be true. And there's not ever a day where I said, boy, I miss playing politics. I miss having the meeting after the meeting. I miss the PowerPoint and all that. You know, I don't miss any of that stuff for sure. Yeah, it's such a joy to not have to deal with any of that stuff anymore for sure.
I agree. To me, that's the part that's the most worth it, because even though right now, and I'm in the building stages, which is very challenging, as you've said, it is kind of the hardest part. I still am much more motivated. I think people just don't know where to start when it comes to entrepreneurship. Like, I have all these skills. Marketing is always in demand. People always need some type of marketing. But I didn't know where to start, like what path to go down, because you could be like more of a niche entrepreneur who just does one very specific thing, or you could be more of a generalist. Do you also help people with that, like kind of figuring out what areas to focus on?
So once we've kind of narrowed down and clarified what your goals are, we create something called a North Star statement. And that's where we kind of combine all your goals into a statement. And that's something that you can use then as a measuring stick and hold up any possibility that you consider moving forward. And sometimes people have really big goals, you know, and usually the North Star statement is a mix of short-term and long-term goals. And that way, you know, you can always make sure directionally you're going the right way as you, you know, choose your opportunity. So whether you're considering a W-2 position or starting a new business or investing in a business, you can make sure that you're going directionally the right way to meet your North Star goals. Once we've done that, then we talk about, you know, all the different vehicles for success. How can you get there? So for some people, they find that they can meet their goals best by like an investment strategy, whether that's real estate or the stock market. So that's one way. I don't dig deep into that because that's not my specialty, but that's something they can investigate and get information on. So then we can look at different types of business ownership. So for some people, you know, people like to buy in bulk maybe and sell on Amazon. Everyone knows someone that does that. That's a possibility. Lots of people open like shops on Etsy. That's a possibility. You could look into that. If there's a business down the street that's for sale, you could look into buying that, get more information, research that. Then there's people that open like passion businesses. I'd say that's kind of what you're describing with your idea for, you know, helping people make friends. Yeah. Or someone that's like likes to brew beer and they start a microbrewery in their garage, or a baker wants to open a bakery. Yeah. So that's kind of a passion business. And then what I specialize in, though, is people that want to learn about what it would be like to start a new iteration of a business model that's already running successfully across the country. So I work in franchising, but not fast food. The way that works is I've got over 250 business partners across every different industry. So, you know, if it makes sense in the conversation and if the client is still, you know, interested in learning about that option, then I can introduce them to some of my business partners and they can dig deep and learn about different possibilities like that. So what I coach to is a point of clarity, and that is where the client has learned about all those different kinds of options and they realize what is the best place for them. And business ownership is not right for everybody. So we already talked about how 90% of people want to be self-sufficient. But what happens is when they learn about what it takes to be self-sufficient, once they have that information, not everyone has the drive to do it, right? Yeah. And that's okay. So what usually ends up happening is, well, I shouldn't say what that's I wouldn't say that. It's not what usually ends up happening. What I would say is it's not the right path for everybody. Mm-hmm. And so when I say I coach to a point of clarity, people, it becomes clear to them what is the right path for them. So some people choose to stay in the W-2 world and they realize maybe now they've decided what their goals are. They're just not in the right job or they're mm-hmm. not in the right industry. Right. And so they want to make a pivot. And some of my clients have decided to start their own business, which is amazing. And so I'm so excited for them. So I'm not coaching to a particular outcome. I'm coaching to a point of clarity, and whatever people come to, I'm thrilled for them. So many of my clients are often interviewing for other positions. And so whatever that choice that they make at the end, we're just excited that they've, you know, found that point of clarity.
Amazing. So it sounds like you really tailor it based on each individual and
absolutely
goals and needs.
Amazing. Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely agree with you. I don't think entrepreneurship is for everyone. Mm-hmm. I think like the stage I'm at in my life, so I don't have any children, I'm single, I'm able to dedicate this much time to building the business. Mm-hmm. But if I had, you know, especially young children, like little babies, little toddlers, mm-hmm. very, very challenging to dedicate this much time to it. So that's it all sort of work out for me in terms of just the timing and my life stage. But mm-hmm. if I was in a different life stage, I very much understand. Both of my parents, by the way, so they're, you know, retirement age in their 60s. And my dad, for example, I keep telling him about going fractional because he likes working. He doesn't want to stop working, mm-hmm. but he doesn't want to be full-time either. And I think, again, just so many people, we don't even know that that's possible, right? Like we didn't even know that you could be fractional or you can be a consultant, or there's so many different ways to work now. And there's so many ways to make money, as you said, but the unconventional path is not necessarily advertised. I think it's also kind of similar, at least for me, what I've learned with investing. I think a lot of really wealthy families teach their children about investing. But again, we don't really learn about investing in school. It's not really widely advertised. They want to kind of keep it to themselves. This, and the information's out there. You can find it, but it's not really put at like a large scale for everybody to access. So I think entrepreneurship or going in an unconventional direction is similar. Well, first of all, I would love to know, like, if there's somebody currently who is unhappy in their role, where would you encourage them to start?
So I think, first of all, I would ask them to be curious. You know, if they have a feeling that something is off, I would ask them to kind of listen to that and try to understand what that feeling is and kind of dig into that a little bit, you know.
Can I ask, sorry to cut you off. Yeah. Does a lot of this come from like a moment of pain? You know, going back to your story, you have experienced a moment of tremendous pain and hardship. Yeah. Is that often the trigger that gets people to finally wake up and finally realize, or does it ever happen just like slowly but surely, gradually? Or is pain a big motivator?
It does happen all kinds of ways, but I will tell you, I do hear some pretty painful stories of things happening or people, you know, getting laid off. You know, you had said before something about, you know, the upsides to the corporate career for people that like it. It's got structure. It feels stable. And that's what I liked about it. It feels stable until it's not. And unfortunately, you know how many people I talk to every day that have just gotten laid off? People that have, you know, it did feel really stable. In fact, I worked for like top 10 health insurance companies. And one of the things I loved about it is because they were so big, if I just told myself, well, if I get into a position that I don't like, that's okay, because in 12 months, you can post for something else and you can just move endless places because they've got, you know, 50,000 employees and departments, and I could work here for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And one of the major stressors, though, at those places were the constant layoffs. And even if I wasn't affected, I was laid off one time in the beginning. Yeah, constant restructures. Constant restructuring, people constantly getting laid off. You go to work one day, your friends are gone. And even if you weren't directly impacted, you know, or you knew you were safe, it's very stressful having your friends getting laid off around you constantly.
Absolutely.
So the idea of corporate safety just doesn't exist, because they can, you're an at-will employee, they can get rid of you for no reason whenever they want. So I think that is also a source of pain, to bring it back to your original point. But for other people, it's just being worn away over time, just the little things that you talked about, especially high performers. High performers, you know, it just wears you down.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wears you down having bosses, like you, just all the things that you talked about before. When you see that you do more than your bosses do, you know more than they do. Other people on your team don't work as hard, don't know as much, but they're better politicians. High performers, that drives you crazy.
Yeah.
And those are the ones that'll start looking.
I completely agree. And I say this not to toot my own horn, but like, yes, I was always the one like leading the group project in school. And I also found that you don't really get rewarded. I mean, maybe you'll get a bonus here and there or something like that, or some little, you know, they'll dangle the carrot so that you'll stay, but you don't really get rewarded for being a high performer other than, okay, maybe you'll get to be a middle manager or you'll get some new title or something like that. But really, I mean, you're the one kind of carrying the weight of the entire team oftentimes, and they'll just reward you with more work. Like if you get everything done and you get it done quickly, they'll say, great, here's more to do. So I would actually find myself slowing myself down to meet their pace. I would have to slow myself down to meet the pace of the rest of the team. And I'm like, what am I doing this for? This isn't motivating me. This isn't, I'm not learning. I'm not growing. Why would I stay in this dynamic? But I wanted to talk now back to the AI thing.
Okay. Yeah.
So just, and I very much agree with you. Like the whole point of these 9-to-5 roles was the stability. And now it feels like the stability is kind of going away. I mean, even government jobs are going away, like with crazy layoffs. And like there's no stability or certainty for anyone, especially now with AI. So let's get into that a little bit.
Yeah.
It's a very unprecedented time in the workforce due to AI. I mean, this has never really, I mean, we've had, you know, the Industrial Revolution, and we've had different changes in technology and how we work. But this is very much like changes the game in many ways. I mean, as a marketer, to someone who, you know, spent many years honing the craft of writing, for example, now writing has almost become kind of obsolete in a way. Like, I don't know. So I would love to hear just your thoughts. I know we talked about this, but just AI is shaking up a lot of industries. It's really very much changing roles and how we work. And I'm just curious your thoughts on that and how you see AI changing the workforce as well as people's career trajectories.
Yeah, absolutely. So I found something. So I didn't say this originally, and I'm going to read it. I took a note. AI raises the floor, but humans raise the ceiling. So I didn't come up with that. And I tried to actually cite it, but it's just all over the place. It's just been said so many times, but I really like it. So I think that really sums things up pretty nicely, or at least it explains the landscape. So tasks that are rules-based,
mundane.
Things that are mundane, things that are rules-based, those things are going to go away. Repetitive, yes, exactly. And they have. So looking for keywords and resumes, yes. Are there problems with that? Yes. And I talked with the people I talk to every day who are getting filtered out, applying for jobs, you know. So are there problems with that approach? Yes. In some of the work that I did in my corporate career, I had taught myself how to do some low-level SQL programming. That kind of work, gone. AI can do it super easy, right? Yeah. But, you know, it hasn't gone away. people telling AI what they need to be programmed, right? You need humans to do that. You need humans to check it, make sure it's doing the correct output. So it is obviously changing things, but there's limits to it. And there's things that AI can't do. AI doesn't have empathy. It doesn't do strategy. It doesn't build relationships. So there's certainly going to be limitations to it. But, you know, repetitive tasks, you know, clearly there's a place for it. But, you know, you need people to manage it.
I said writing an email.
Yeah.
That's the thing, to write our own emails. No, again, as somebody who's worked in writing for many years and marketing for many years, a lot of what I previously did, AI can do it in seconds. But I also find, and people are sort of noticing this now more and more, that it's very obvious when somebody's post or blog or email or any type of writing was done by AI. We can tell in 2 seconds. The more you like use these tools and learn how they work, the more obvious it becomes. And I think we're already kind of getting sick of it. Actually, there's a term now, AI slop. Mm-hmm. AI slop is like basically just the very obviously ChatGPT written LinkedIn post or email or what have you. And I think we're all kind of, it just all feels very generic. Like everything feels very flat and very surface level and very lacking the humanity, as we said. Mm-hmm. And I think that's already kind of, the pendulum is kind of swinging the other way, where people are already starting to miss the humanity. And I think that's one of the reasons that podcasting is so valuable nowadays, mm-hmm. because it's something AI can't fake. Maybe it can create a podcast. Technically, my cousin actually did, he showed me, I think it was Gemini, Copilot. Okay. He actually had one of these AI agents create a podcast for him in like 2 seconds. He took a slide deck of just a few slides and he said, make me a podcast on this topic. And it did it, but it was creepy. We don't want to listen to like two AIs talking to each other. We want humanity. We want to see people's flaws. We want the rawness, the realness. So I just keep hearing that over and over, especially in the world of marketing and content. It's like when everything's perfect, we don't want perfect anymore. We want the realness. We want the flaws. Yeah. We want to see the humanity of it already, mm-hmm. I think. But I'm curious, just in terms of like everything we've been saying with AI, do you think that there are any specific roles or pathways that are now becoming less stable because of AI? Like obviously anything that's kind of repetitive, are there any careers that you think are just going to completely go away?
Oh gosh, don't put that on me. I don't want to be the person to say that, but I can tell you that it's clear to me IT's been heavily affected. I can see that by the people that are, you know, being laid off. People that have just graduated. I even, you know, and I talk to people my age that have been, so I'm 50, that have been laid off and have kids in college like I do, and are saying, you know, then I've got a son who's studying IT and I'm telling him, could do something else, you know, right? I don't know what's going to happen here. But the truth is there will continue to be jobs in IT, but it's going to change. It's clearly going through a really hard time right now. I talk to a lot of IT people.
Oh yeah, IT. So the ones I know of, as far as like just the research I've done, a lot of recruiting is changing, which I don't know if I necessarily like this concept. Nobody asked us. No one asked us like, hey, do you want to get rid of like the person you talk to and just replace them with some chat bot? We want that.
Right.
Said no. Personal experience. So I recently hired movers. I moved from Florida to Georgia and I hired a moving company. And I found out shortly before the move was supposed to happen that they had gotten rid of their entire customer service department and replaced them with an AI agent. And I was calling to get some questions answered, to speak to somebody with concerns about my upcoming move, which was very costly, very stressful. And it didn't console me in any way, this AI agent that couldn't answer any of my questions.
Yeah.
And it made me really stressed out. And then finally I got a human on the phone. Like I had to do a whole workaround to get a human to talk to me. And the human basically said, listen, if I were you, I wouldn't use us because we got rid of our whole team of customer support. And so imagine if something had gone wrong with the move, or something was broken, or there was an issue, or they didn't show up, I would have had to then deal with an AI agent to fix all of these issues. So then I just ended up switching companies. I switched to a company that had a real human being answer the phone. They had real human beings, you know, give that personal touch for the move as well. And I was so much happier, and it was more expensive, but like anything in life, you get what you pay for. So I just think that's one of those examples though, of like companies, they're trying to save money and cut costs by getting rid of the humans. But then ultimately, like they ended up losing me as a customer because I wanted the human touch.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That's terrible. Well, these companies are making, in the recruiting side, are making such
crazy cuts.
Yeah, they're making these terrible cuts, and they're also leaving such a bad impression with their applicants. You know, and when this all swings back around, people aren't going to forget. Yeah.
I agree. It's also interesting. One of my previous companies, I again, won't name names or anything, three rounds of layoffs. And the departments that were most affected by these layoffs were primarily HR, recruiting, and employee experience. So they were like, oh yeah, we don't need to help with the employee experience. We don't need the employees to be happy. We don't need, you know, fun things like happy hours or team bonding. No, let's just get rid of that. And again, the irony, because those are the things that we need most, the humanity, and it's very ironic. Wow. What do you think, like, in terms of future-proofing? So if you were to give someone advice on how to future-proof their career in this AI-driven world, what would you recommend to them?
I would recommend that people be flexible, and, you know, you have to stay flexible and be willing to learn, and that, you know, the world is always evolving. And you got to be willing to evolve with it.
True. Very true. Would you recommend people like embracing AI more so and learning how to work with it? Would you recommend they go into like trades or some other unconventional route?
You know, I think that the different answer for everyone, I think that all of those, I think what they're teaching the kids in school now is the right thing. That college isn't for everybody.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of different paths to leading a successful, happy life. And that we shouldn't try to pump as many kids as possible through college. They can't all get jobs. They're all not meant to be there. We need tradespeople. We need all different people doing all different kinds of jobs. And for the people that are out there, it's never too late to pivot.
Very true. Yeah. I think we can pivot even later in life. I actually had my mom on my podcast and we talked about that as well. Just
awesome.
She did many career pivots over her, you know, lifetime. She's in her 60s. And yeah, exactly. It's never too late. You can always change
course.
Yeah. What about, would you say that there's like one certain personality type that tends to really thrive as a business owner?
A great question. It's not so much that there's one personality type. We do use a tool that helps us understand our clients better. It's called the DISC assessment. But it doesn't matter what DISC style you are. Anyone can be a good business owner. It comes down to being motivated and being coachable and willing to learn a system. That really is what determines how successful you can be. That's really what it comes down to. I do share a free book with all my clients. You can see it behind me, Your Career Revolution. They can get it in a hard copy, or I can share it on Audible. They also get access to my portal, which has tools in it, and the portal guides them through the discovery process. We work via Zoom, and my process is complimentary because the way my business is structured, so it's no cost to work with me.
I will link all of that in the description as well.
Awesome.
What would you say are some of the biggest misconceptions people have about business ownership?
I think, and this was true for me too, I did always have a desire to be a business owner, but I felt like, I can never think of a good idea or like invent something amazing. I just, you know, like I just don't have a unique, amazing idea. I think that's a lot of people's problem. I don't know what I would do.
I'm the opposite. I have a bunch of ideas, but I don't know. Like,
okay.
Opposite problem, but yes.
Right. Yeah, but that's not, you don't have to have a great idea. That's not required. It's not required to have a great idea. There's lots of existing businesses out there. So I think that's the biggest misconception.
And is there a certain type of person that you would say maybe entrepreneurship is not for them? Is it just like their life stage? Is it a certain personality type?
I think people that have a hard time following a system would tend to struggle and they might be better off in the W-2 space.
Maybe
and that's something they would learn in the discovery process too. And that's part of the learning, you know, as you go through the discovery process and learn about different businesses, you need to kind of envision yourself doing it. And what people sometimes realize is, yeah, I could never do this, or I just don't want to. I see what it takes to be successful and I don't want to do it. And that's okay, because it's important to realize that, right? You have to be honest with yourself. And that's a big part of the discovery process, is that you have to be honest with yourself. And because they will tell you, this is what it would take to be successful in this business. And it's being honest with yourself is very, very important.
Yeah. I think a lot of people might say, okay, no, not for me.
Right. Right. And it's important to go through the exercise to give yourself the opportunity to explore, because I would hate for someone to look back in 10 or 20 years and say, I wish I would have investigated that, because they can say, I did, and I know the answer, you know?
Very true. What do you think, what belief or fear do you see as keeping people stuck the most? The stability, the fear, you know, the lack of stability.
You know, it could be that, or fear of making the wrong decision, you know, but not making a decision and staying stuck is a choice too.
Very true. Like kind of giving up on yourself.
Yeah.
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 What about in terms of like your success stories? So how do you tend to measure success in your client relationships, or what is success for your clients?
So for me, it's just helping people reach that point of clarity. If you read my reviews on LinkedIn and Google Business, you'll see most of them are from people that didn't decide to go into business ownership, but went through my process and reached that point of clarity, whether it was starting their own business or staying in the W-2 world. But, you know, took the time to take a minute, focus on their goals, what was important to them and the rest of their lives, and appreciated the time and found that point of clarity and really took ownership then of their income path. They no longer feel like they're being dragged through their career, but they own it now and they know what they want and what they're going to do next. And that's powerful stuff. It's a good thing to be part of.
Can you share maybe one transformation story from a client that really illustrates what's possible by going through this process?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a great client that I met who was divorced, had adult children, who worked in a film career, and she wanted to move out of state to where she had grown up to be with her aging parents. And she didn't really feel like she had a lot of opportunities, or really any opportunities. And the beautiful part of this process is that people learn that they have transferable skills, that they really can do other things, yeah, even though they might have been in one kind of niche for a long time. They do have general skills, and that they can do so many things. In fact, if you look at franchises, they teach you everything you need to know to succeed. So you can really go into any industry, which is kind of mind-boggling. So you don't need any prior experience. So she ended up learning about a business where she can help seniors, and she decided that's where her heart was.
Wow.
And to be able to be in a business where she could help people. And it turns out she learned that that business was a business that actually had helped her grandmother previously. So there was kind of that connection there that she didn't even realize was there. So she ended up moving out of state to be closer to her family. And now she's doing work with seniors and making a difference in people's lives. Just that's how she's going to, you know, end her career and doing this meaningful work. And it's just so, it's so powerful and such a blessing for me to be part of these kinds of transformations for people, you know, for her to think that she was going to be able to have such an impactful last part of her life is just something she didn't even think was on the table. So.
Wow. Amazing. Love that. Yeah, it's so true. And I think so many of us don't even, as we've said multiple times, we didn't even know it was possible. And we didn't even know what these options were. Love that. Okay, I'm just going to do a little fun rapid fire section. So basically just answer these next questions with just the first thing that comes to mind. Are you a morning person or a night owl?
Morning.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
What's one belief about work that people should immediately throw away?
That success only looks one way.
Oh, that's a great one. What's the best career advice you've ever received?
Oh, snap.
It's a hard one. That's the best advice. Oh, snap. No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Be willing to pivot.
That's a good one. Yes. Mm-hmm. Especially nowadays, especially with AI and everything we've talked about. What is one sign that someone is ready for a career pivot?
When your work is keeping you up at night.
Oh, yeah. That's a big one. What is one thing you wish more women knew about work, purpose, or power?
That you are allowed to reassess your goals.
Very nice. And what is the most surprising thing people discover about themselves by doing your process?
That there are so many more possibilities out there than they ever dreamed of.
Right. True, true, true. What's one word you would use to describe the future of work?
Evolving.
And business ownership, is it overrated or underrated?
It depends. But if you have found alignment, if you have found alignment, it's awesome.
Amazing. Well, we are just about out of time. So Stephanie, thank you so much for being here today. I really enjoyed our conversation. It was a wonderful reminder that it's never too late to change your path, to pivot. And, you know, there's so many different ways that a career can look other than just the conventional 9-to-5 type of role. Although for some, like we've said, you know, for some people, that is the best path that they discover in the end. For my listeners, where can they connect with you and learn more about your process and work with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can go to my website, Steph, like my name, steph ahead.com, and that'll take you right to my contact page.
I will link that in the show notes as well. And for anybody listening, I would love to hear your feedback in the comments. Please let us know what your biggest takeaway was from this conversation or what you resonated with most. And as always, please share this episode with a friend or someone who could use it, especially someone going through a career pivot or a big change in their life. There's always hope. There's always, you know, a different path that they can take. And I hope this conversation was valuable. We didn't save the world today, but we had a really interesting conversation about career pivots, clarity, and future-proofing your path. And I hope it gave you all a lot to think about. So thank you all so much for listening to Natalie Saves the World, one podcast at a time. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. And I'll see you all in the next one, and have a wonderful day.